Welcome to episode 554 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today's day 4 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. Titus 2 verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. There are many things that we do because we recognize that they are good for us. Brushing our teeth, taking vitamins, getting a certain amount of sleep, eating a healthy diet, and exercising. We do these things because we know that they will help us to not only survive, but to excel physically and emotionally. In essence, they help us to accomplish our goals. In and of themselves, no one of these things is a magic pill or panacea, guaranteeing success in all areas of life, but together, they position us for healthy results. The world's greatest athletes engage in deliberate training regimens to hone their skills and to maintain peak performance levels. Successful leaders in business, education, and politics tend to have routines and rituals that enable them to thrive. The same is true of spiritual disciplines. These are simple habits and practices that help us to develop, grow, and strengthen our faith in Christ. These things don't bring us salvation. They're not formulas or recipes to win God's approval. Instead, they are what help us to develop a lasting faith, a strong faith, and a faith that is put into practice. They have no power in themselves, but they help to develop and strengthen a faith that connects to the one who is powerful over all things. In the same way that we can't survive physically by having an occasional meal, we can't survive spiritually by listening to an occasional sermon or having an occasional Bible study. Transformation, growth, and maturity in our thinking and lifestyle involve a process, not an event. Discipline is defined as training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. Almost nothing of any significance in our lives is ever accomplished without practice, without repetition, without sacrifice, without training. Spiritual disciplines can be described as those behaviors that augment our spiritual growth and enable us to grow to spiritual maturity. This process of spiritual growth and development begins to take place the moment a person encounters the risen Christ and comes to him for salvation. One key to a happy new you is the pursuit of God and the things of God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in accordance with God's self-revelation, that is the Bible. One of the hardest struggles of the human heart is to realize the need of a power outside of oneself. It is natural to be independent, to try to solve all of life's perplexities without help. But God, who created us, knows we need his help, his power, and guidance in order to successfully manage ourselves and our life situation. We need to let God have control in our lives. And it is only through a connection with God that we can realize the goal of a happy new you. The spiritual disciplines are practices and routines that strengthen our connection with God. The purpose of spiritual discipline is the development of our inner being, that which has been transformed by Christ at salvation. This is how the Amplified Bible puts 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Redeemed believers have experienced a total renewal of the whole person from within, involving differences in thought, feeling, and character that may be slower to be evident in our outward behavior. This is what Paul had in mind when he spoke in Colossians 3 verses 9 to 10 of taking off the old self and putting on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. The epistle to Titus is known as one of the pastoral epistles, as are the two letters to Timothy. This epistle was written by the Apostle Paul to encourage his brother in the faith, Titus, whom he had left in Crete to lead the church which Paul had established on one of his missionary journeys. In Titus 2, verse 11 to 15, Paul explains the grace of God as something which encourages believers toward right behavior and right thinking. Earlier in this epistle, Paul gives instructions for proper behavior of church members. Here in verses 11 to 15, God's grace is shown as the foundation on which traits such as self-control, respect, and godliness are built. Paul also commands Titus to teach these ideas boldly and with authority. The grace of God, mentioned in verse 11, brings salvation as well as changed actions. Two main areas are presented in verse 12. First, God's grace is involved in teaching us to turn away from worldly, unrestrained, godless behaviors. The Greek of this verse uses two words with familiar meanings. One is translated as ungodliness or godlessness, the other as worldly passions or worldly lusts. Ungodliness is simply anything which contradicts God's will or his nature. God's grace helps believers in Christ to reject ungodly living. In addition, it helps us reject sinful desires. God's grace trains us or teaches us to avoid behaviors that are sinful. The second major point, made in verse 12, involves living with self-control, morality, and godliness. Self-control is an idea frequently mentioned in Paul's letter to Titus. It emphasizes the importance of a disciplined life. This attitude was in sharp contrast to the lazy, self-focused lifestyle of many people in Crete. Titus 2 verse 13 refers to believers looking forward to a blessed hope. This hope is the appearance of the glory of Christ. The New Testament mentions various appearings of Christ. He appeared on earth as a human. Jesus also appeared alive after his resurrection. There will also be a future appearing mentioned in this verse, as well as in the epistles to Timothy. This future event is the one referred to as the blessed hope, a phrase the New Testament uses only here. To have a happy new you, you need to be disciplined. You need to pivot away from worldly passions and lusts, and you need to be future-oriented, living as one readying oneself for the blessed hope. Titus 2 verse 14 shows us that the purpose of Jesus' sacrifice for sin was in two parts. The first is to rescue believers from sin or lawlessness. Second, the death of Jesus is able to cleanse or purify, meaning to free from sin and its consequences. We are cleansed for himself, to serve God, not merely for personal fulfillment or improvement. Believers are a people or kingdom for his own possession. As children of God, we're both family and citizens of a new kingdom. Because we have been freed from sin and its power, we have a zeal or passion to do good works. This reflects Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 9, which speaks of salvation being by grace through faith apart from works. Ephesians 2 verse 10 also states that we are created by Jesus for good works. Father, we thank you for grace through which we can be trained to renounce ungodliness. Give us the desire to accept both the gift of grace and the power of the Holy Spirit for us to have transformed lives. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.